Wow, with Team Leo upon us, we could not have asked for a more appropriate debut. Yes, trading and involvement legend Nick, aka Run the Foot Market, joins us. We discuss another Team of the Year market crash, the new voting system, recovering from big trading losses, his strong weekend league record, the SBC Promes being his MVP, plus the importance of Chemstyles and Team of the Week 17 investments. I'm your host Ben, and all that is in this week's Foot Weekly Podcast. Hello and welcome to week 17 of Foot Weekly, and finally I've managed to get Nick, aka Run the Foot Market, onto the podcast for all of you and to enjoy. Nick, how are you doing?
What's up, Ben? Thank you so much for having me on, and it's great that we can finally find a time to get on this
together. Yeah, well, it's been Foot Economist hogging the limelight on this podcast for too long. I think it's good to get you in and say hi. And of course, it's a very good time to be on as well, because we've got loads to talk about. And I'm sure, talking of which, Foot Economist is going to be quite jealous that you get to tell us all about Team of the Year. We just found out, actually, I think it was shortly after this last podcast came out, about the voting system. Obviously, it is community voted. And I'm sure most people will be aware of how that works, your big influencers and the like, having a huge percentage of the vote. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I like it because I think it's a positive step for the company in trying to get the community involved and be a part of what's going on here. I think it's a collection of, they've probably heard the thoughts maybe about how the game's been going in the fall, and saying, hey, this could be a good idea. Now, I don't know if the execution of it has been absolutely amazing. It's a little bit of a, I just feel like it's a little hard that, it doesn't really feel like the community can vote, but at the same time, we do at least get to be a part of something, like maybe the influencers. Some YouTubers have been making videos where, the comments below can do a vote, right, and choose like four players in their teams. And I think it's cool how, I believe sites like Foothead and Footwiz have left their votes open to the public, so like saying, hey, like, whatever you guys vote for, that's what it is. It's a cool system. I don't really know... I don't know the logistics of how it's all going to work with, like, I think all the votes need to be in by Friday, and then they're going to somehow try to bring it out on Monday. But yeah, I'm expecting it all to be finalized and released on Monday the 15th. That's my timeline of what I'm expecting.
Yeah. One of the interesting things about the voting process is 60% is the community vote, or basically influencer voted. And then there's a 40%, which is an EA vote.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Which for me is slightly kind of suspect in a way, because they could theoretically just put that 40% onto one particular player to ensure they get into it. So, I mean, while I think that this system is great, and I think it's a huge improvement because you're getting plenty of players that are usable, it's kind of a win-win for EA. I can understand why they've done this. And for all intents and purposes, like, everyone wanted this rather than Iniesta getting in the team again or Kroos or whatever. So I think it's a positive, but it's just a bit of a shame that they couldn't have made it more community-based.
I'm totally in agreement with what you're saying, and I think it's like the biggest problem that users have with this game is we want to see the clarity. Like, when you're bringing a server maintenance or something like that, like, if there's something wrong with the game and you're saying, okay, this, the game's going to be down from this hour to X hour, right? We want to know, like, hey, what are you guys going on and doing? Like, how are you making this game better for us, or what changes are you making? And I think it's one of those things where we've heard this rollout of whatever the 60-40 is, and, like, we kind of get a thing of, like, EA gets that say, but, like, is it really just that, or do they get a little bit more than that? Like, how do we know how that's all working with their end of the votes? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I think a bit of clarity on that, because, if it's like employees all voting and that makes up the 40%, and that's like fantastic. Like, it's really nice to see that they're doing that. Yeah. But why don't you tell us? Because otherwise we might think, you're just going to decide to put in one player, essentially. Or if you're going to do that, then why not just say, we're going to choose one player, sort of a wild card pick or something like that. I think it's always been about transparency, hasn't it? EA actually do a lot of good stuff, but I think sometimes it's presented not quite right. Overall, I think it's a huge positive as a system, and it's the first year they've done it, so you've got to appreciate that. Maybe next year will see a bit of a development and they'll move it forward a bit. Yeah, the team, it's kind of almost been decided now, hasn't it? You're looking at, obviously, your Ronaldo, your Messi, and then I think it's a toss-up between Kane and Neymar, I think, for the sort of third spot.
Yeah, I would say
there.
Probably, like, it's going to, that third is going to be Neymar, Kane, or Mbappe. It's going to be one of those three. I haven't really looked at the percentages, but I know that if you're thinking of a combination of the community and EA, it's, that third spot is definitely in contention. I don't think Neymar is necessarily a lock.
This is an example of why it's quite interesting, because, I don't know, personally, I'd say that Kane is, like, an absolute, nailed on player, if I was going to say players who should get that position in terms of performance. But Mbappe is obviously, you know, it's possible he could get it. But I guess it's unsurprising people are sort of picking based on their ability in game. And to be honest, well, I'm not too disappointed by that in a way.
Yeah, and I think if you look at EA, right, there's two steps they can take here. They can do the eye candy approach, which is, hey, let's put in Neymar because that's going to give us more money down the line. More people will say, okay, Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, instead of, oh, Ronaldo, Messi, Kane, I might spend, like $20 less, right? Because Team of the Year is a big revenue window for EA. It's a big deal, man. They run lightning rounds all week. They get a lot of money from Team of the Year. It's big. So I think they could take that approach, but then you could also say the approach is, you know, a lot of the things for the player of the month, we see a lot of the English players tend to win it. I don't know. It's that whole committee. Maybe we've seen EA does really like Kane. I'm a Spurs fan. Obviously, some guys know that who are probably listening to this. I don't really know. I don't really know what step they're going to take there. But yeah, who knows, man? It's going to be I think that part is exciting. As much as I do want clarity, I think it's exciting to know that we don't know that Neymar is a lock. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool part about this Team of the Year is like, some people are going to be mad and salty with the decisions that are made when it comes out, probably. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool in the matter that it's going to be one of the few times this year where we're actually going to have something that we're like, you know, we're excited to look forward to, and we're like, hey, this is a surprise. We don't know exactly who's going to be in this Team of the Year. It gives it a little bit of, yeah, it's just a change, man, and that's all we can ask for in the community is, hey, can we just change something next year to give us another element of surprise or greatness about the game? And it's like last year we know. At the ceremony, you know, you're going to get the same probably 11. It's going to be La Liga All-Star teams will be now available in packs next week, right? This year, we might have something different, which is actually, for me, overall, I don't really know if I'm okay with how, not okay, but, you know, happy with how it all got handled. And I think, could it be done better? Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, it's changed and it's a work in progress and it's all we can ask for at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's kind of good. I think I'm pretty positive about it, and I think that I hope they take it forward and develop it further. In terms of the Team of the Year impact, I suppose, on the market, do you think the fact that this is a community selected Team of the Year will have any impact, I don't know, in terms of excitement or hype or whatever? Do you think it make a difference?
Yeah, I think it's going to have more people saying, hey, maybe, you know, I got to partake in voting, you know, and I'm going to go open some packs or something like that. Like just things like that, that will increase sales. And I think you're definitely going to have more users on, as we talked about the element of surprise and that thing. That's what users like, man. And especially this is huge, man. We know that a huge majority of people who play this game are big Premier League fans. We know that that's kind of how it works. And I think if you throw in the likes of a Conte, a De Bruyne, a Valencia, De Gea, or at least a few of the four, right? That you're going to get more people very happy to be on during Team of the Year. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I definitely think it's an interesting point you raised about people feeling some kind of like ownership over the Team of the Year to an extent. You know, people have voted for this team. So maybe when it comes to suddenly seeing, oh, Mbappe's made it and I voted for him. I don't know, it might create a bit more interest in a way.
Completely. I totally agree with that.
So I mentioned market briefly. In terms of the effect it's going to have, I mean, what do you think? Do you think, because I don't know, prices have dipped quite a bit already, and in fact, they have dipped since Footmas, would you say, maybe?
Yeah, I'll get into this a little bit, because that's kind of like, we, you know, I study the market big time, man, trends, all that. I'll tell you what I'm expecting, and then I'll give like a, you know, kind of like an A and B, like this could happen still though. So we basically had, I you know, when I was kind of on about the whole Footmas thing, right, I advised a lot of people. And we were talking the community with other traders and things like this, saying, hey, you know, it was around, I think it was the 20, I want to say it was the, you know, it was like a few days before Footmas. And I was like, guys, the move is to probably get your coins all added up, get liquidated, right? Because what Footmas actually does is it takes a lot of coins off the market. Even if you only do two of the Footmas SBCs, you're saying give or take, you're giving away 50,000 coins that you didn't have before. So it's the little things like that where they run. I think we had 24, 20, 30. We had 10. What we had 10 days of three player SBCs per day. So 30 Footmas SBCs over time, man. That impacts the market. And I think we saw through Footmas that every day the market just started to go a little bit more down, because what happens is people lose their coins, right? And maybe there's less buyers in the market. These people are now using these Footmas cards in their teams, and they're also buying less players from the market. So there was a little bit of a slow dip, and that is actually, you know, this year, guys, we all know that this year has been extremely different in terms of market and what happens, and it's a big market built off of a lot of panic, a lot of hype. Last year, it had a pretty stable, you know, this is happening, this happens then. This was one of the things over Footmas where it was actually very comparable to what happened last year. The same thing happened during Footmas last year. It was the same kind of little dip. And then we head to the new year, obviously. And that's kind of, we had this thing between, I think it was like, I want to say January 1st and January 3rd, where there was some people that were like, okay, you know, I think Team of the Year is coming Monday the 8th, right? And I think it's going to get impacts. I'm going to sell my team. So we did actually have a pretty big crash then. And that's actually when I bought my team. I bought my icons of my team on January, I think 1st or 2nd, right? Because prices got low. A lot of them were 20 to 25% down. I like to do this as an investor where I say, okay, you know, Ronaldo was at this price during Black Friday. I think he can get to this price out of during this pre-crash. This is where I will buy him at. If he goes there, I'm going to buy him. I'm not going to get greedy. I'm not going to say, okay, I want 50K more down on him. I'm just going to buy it because at that price, I'm happy there. So that's when I bought. We saw a little bit of a rebound between, I'd say, the 3rd and the 7th. And then obviously, this is kind of like what I was talking about was I was pretty certain that we were just going to get the announcement, right, that we were going to get something, right, Team of the Year. They wouldn't just drop Team of the Year in packs. Like, they would have to give the community some awareness, usually about a week. So I was expecting the announcement on Monday, January 8th, which did go according to plan. And basically, we actually saw, I think Sunday night into Monday, we did see another window of crash. And that crash has actually continued right up until we're recording this podcast. And the market is still very low right now, but I've already seen after awards today, some cards get bought back up. The real low this week was like Sunday, Monday. Looks like a lot of people are starting to buy their teams back. So usually two market crashes, there's two pre-crash windows. Every time you see a Black Friday, there was one pre-crash and then there was another window. So this was, in my opinion, the second window. Now, this could be a unusual event that's not common, but I think that we could potentially see a third window actually on Sunday night into Monday morning, right up until Team of the Year is released and the first hour Team of the Year is released. And I say this because we had something on Black Friday where people were panicking. The first hour of lightning rounds, man, I saw prices that were so low. I think I bought a Ronaldo, the 90 rated icon. I do a lot of icon trading. He usually was selling at the Black Friday time, which is in November. He was selling between 3.0 and 3.3, right, in a given week. You could get him on his low, you could sell him on his high, right? But during this period of panic in the morning, man, I think I got a fresh one for like 2.8 flat. I got a Hullet that was the 90 Hullet, which usually was 3.5 to 4. I got him for 3.3. So panic has made the market this year, and I think that there could be another window if you guys are listening that are big-time traders or you still haven't built your teams. I think for you guys, there's going to be a window between Sunday night and right. I think honestly, it may do the same thing where it continues the first 2 hours of the lightning rounds. But basically how lightning rounds work, and I, you know, Ben, I don't know how long you've been playing FIFA. I've been playing FIFA since
the beginning of time.
Yeah, so I've been playing since FIFA 12. And what used to happen probably until FIFA 15 or 16 was when we had lightning rounds, essentially the market crashed badly. Like everything went down.
Yeah, you're right.
And the thing was because we used to have coin sellers and coin buyers. So people open packs with coins. That takes more coins off the market. No one's really opening packs with FIFA points. But because EA has bared down so hard on banning people who do coin buying, that basically doesn't exist. There's not many people who have accounts in this game that stay alive past a week after they buy coins. They all get shut down. They're crazy good about that, and I do like that a lot. I think that's
it's really
good for the game, and it makes trading that much more competitive. But now what that does, and that's the thing where I get the question a lot, saying, hey, well, why are you saying the market's going to go up if we're getting 6 rounds of 100,000, 100K packs in a day? And the reason for that is this started to happen last year, and people got confused, and this year it's been very prevalent, is that the market goes up because people are buying FIFA points to open these packs, and what's happening is the likes of Bakayoko, Jesus, right, your average standard weekend league golds, those ones actually tank hard like they did in the past, right, because their supply is just massive. They're 81, 82 rated. They're getting packed left, right, and center in those packs. But the players like Maldini, Griezmann, Aubameyang, all those kind of guys that are the big bullies in the weekend league, right, Hullet, those people, after all these lightning rounds, especially with this Team of the Year coming up, being just so much hype about the community and all that, I'm really predicting that, you know, for the first hour, you're still going to have that panic. And then past then, man, I think the ship is going to start to sail. And I think it's going to go higher. I think it's likely, man. And I wouldn't say it's going to happen because this year we've known through, we're going to talk about Team of the Week 10 later. We're going to talk about all these panic scenarios that actually has happened. But I think that it's very possible that we see the market. Listen, the market last year after Team of the Year, I think a few days after, it went the highest it ever did all year. It really went the highest. Ronaldo's gold card went from 1 point, I want to say like 1.3 or 1.4 to 1.8 or 1.9. Like literally jumped 400,000 coins.
Yeah.
Just with the influx of all these people opening packs, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing that impacts that higher market. It's not like a ton of people are packing all these icons. Like, yes, they will pack them. The supply will be there. But they also just gained 1 million coins. So it's going to really just jump the prices, in my opinion. And that's why I'm just kind of getting into that, because I think it's going to be weird that we might see a third pre-crash, guys. And if you have, whether you've bought your team or not, right? If you've already bought your team, well, if you have some coins still, definitely be on the lookout, I would say, this upcoming Sunday and Monday for some deals. Because when you see that panic, guys, and I've always said this, this is like my rule of thumb, is that when you see panic on the market, and when you see prices that are just way too cheap, and what do I mean by too cheap? Maybe let's say 20% down from his average selling price. And when you see that sitting on the market for an hour and like not selling, that's usually the time to actually, you know, buy your team. So that's,
I guess that means like people are spooked from buying that player, which is not good. Yeah, yeah.
It's not good. But if you're an investor and you're a guy looking to make coins, it usually is, because you want to obviously, and this is to just simplify it, right? Buy when everyone's selling and sell when everyone's buying. That's always what I tell people, and I know it sounds so simple, but yeah, it's really the rule. It's really the biggest rule I use in terms of like, and guys, even me, like I have doubts sometimes, right? Buying in the panic, it's scary, right? Because you look at the card down 15 to 20%, and you're like 20%, you're like, oh my god, like what if I buy this card and he goes lower? You just gotta have the confidence, man, to know that. Always look for, you know, something to bring it back up, right? So for me, the lightning rounds will bring your players back up. All those coins being put into accounts, that's where my confidence level is in terms of you guys, you know, buy your teams. When I say buy your teams, it's like you're buying it for a reason, right? You're getting it at a discounted price. You're going to get to use it in the weekend league, wherever you're playing. If you're playing season squad battles, you're going to get to use it. And then you're going to get to look in 2 weeks, most likely, and be able to sell it and get yourself, depending on the team you make, anywhere from 100 to a million, you know, a million coins, 100K to a million coins. So that's why it's always so fun, man, covering like Team of the Year and talking about Team of the Year market, because there's just so much going on with it.
And I suppose in terms of the kind of players that you'd be looking to buy that would drop down, would you suggest even at this stage looking at like your 81 rated Gabriel Jesus to invest in, or do you think his time has kind of passed in terms of being a
Me, like I stopped really the last few months advising the investments of Bakayoko and those guys, because this is my take on it, and I don't know what the whole EA situation is, but squad battles this year, squad battle rewards have really hurt the ability for those cards to actually get back up, because you're getting another set of packs 2 or 3 days after weekend league rewards that are giving out a lot of 81s and 82s, right? So the supply is just being refunded right away. So that's why I've actually not recommended a lot of that. And I said, hey, you know, in these crashes, go look at the players like Griezmann, and then go look at the icons you want. So I'm looking like elite golds, obviously, and then higher informs. But you always want to be looking at players that an investment is always a good investment. You want to be looking at, okay, you know, go on, type in, you know, hashtag task, gorilla, shells. Go look at who those guys are using. Who are they using? Who are they talking well about? Who is hashtag Harry doing a review on? Who is Marshall saying is a good, you know, a good player after a review? That's the kind of players you guys want to be looking at as investments, because in player investments are all built around everybody buying them for their teams. People don't just buy cards and let them sit on their transfer list, you know? They buy them to play. So that's where it's always like, it's always thinking about like, okay, how is he going to be good? Is he going to link with players, or is he going to get community hype? That's another thing that I look at a lot when I'm looking at investments and kind of giving them a rating.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is really interesting. Yeah, it's kind of weird because obviously investment-wise, it probably makes a sense to look at a Team of the Year player if you're looking at sort of picking up an elite player, right? I don't know what your thoughts are on this, because we've seen quite interesting pattern over the last 2 years. The sort of, I guess, price fluctuations of Team of the Year players has varied year to year. So last year was quite different to the year before. Is that correct?
Yeah, last year's Team of the Year was pretty crazy. I know that for me, like I covered Team of the Season like crazy last year, and I always like pretty much relate. They're pretty similar, right? You get big lightning rounds. You get a lot of players that are super, super cool looking, blue, elite in packs. And what actually happened last year is just something to pick up on, guys, is there was some, I picked up on a situation last year where I made 800,000 coins in a day. And the way I did that was not complex. It's just looking at a player and saying, okay, that's a little like too cheap, right? So my situation was when Bundesliga Team of the Season got released, I remember Ousmane Dembele was, I think he was at like 550,000, and he had an inform that was at like 300K, right? So you look at the comparison, right? And it was like, I think Dembele's pace was 99, his shooting was 91, he had basically all 90s except defending, and his physical was like 84, right? And I was like, French, five-star. I mean, that, like, I looked at it, and I was like, I would buy the whole market at 650K. So I ended up buying, I want to say three of them. I think I bought three, man. And, you know, as the line, it was a bunch of panic and spam right away, right? The 100K packs, and everybody's trying to get them out and get their money. I think as the lightning rounds cooled down and we went up to nighttime, dude, I remember I was selling him like 950, dude. He went all like, and that's the thing, guys. On the first day, it's always very risky trading, but the team of the year and their prices could be like, they could be all over the place. They could go up 300K. They could go down 400K. You've just got to monitor and see what's going on in the first hour. And it's really hard to explain or teach any of that. You know, that's kind of one of those things that's just like, you have that experience and you start to look so much at so many different players and you evaluate how the market works. But that's going to be an interesting thing coming up. Like, you know, if something gets too cheap on the first day and you take the risk on it, that's always a crazy, man. Team of the year trading is nuts, man. It's like...
Mm. And do you think that EA might sort of throw in a little icon SBC in there as well, just to really spice things up a bit?
I think it could potentially, you know, we saw it, I believe, at the end of Footmas they did one. I think we could potentially see one next Thursday. It's not out of the question. Spice it up a little bit, you get that.
Mm. We always, you know, we've seen this in the past. With the Icon SBC, will they drop it when there's plenty of packs being opened anyway and plenty of interest in the game? Maybe they just wait. I mean, there are plenty of other weeks.
Yep.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. You were saying about, you know, trusting that investment. If you see a player too low, you know, trust your instincts. I think one thing that might slightly put people off doing that was that sort of infamous Team of the Week 10. And we had some tweets about that. Farhan tweeted in saying that Team of the Week 10 was one of his biggest losses this year. I myself lost my coins on Nyangalan. And I just wondered what your kind of thoughts on that. Because I know at the time, I mean, like anyone, you were probably thinking, yeah, I mean, these players seem very cheap compared to comparables.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those situations, and we spoke about this a little bit, that it was one of those things where the supply, because we had the Team of the Week SBC, the supply was insane. The pack weight was I don't know if it was like, I don't know if it was altered, but there was like, at the time of the Team of the Week being out, there was like, I think there was 12 pages of Paul Pogba's on the market, which is like crazy. Like a player that's of that rating and that elite status. That's not good. And then we had a whole combination of a lot of investors saying, invest. A lot of people got in with the investments. Now, what I ended up doing, right, and I will admit this, I lost 40,000 coins on a Vidal, but I did make a total of like 150 over three Pogbas. And what happened there and how I made that money was with, I bought on Saturday morning that the Team of the Week release, SBC released, right? And they all got opened right away. Like everybody wants to go do them. And I saw them just getting so low. I flipped those cards. I sold them, which is what I mean by flip. I sold them Thursday that week after rewards because there was other people still buying them for the teams, right? And I think it was just, and you know, I held a Vidal longer because I thought he would go up out of packs and nothing went up over our packs and then they all went down. So I think it was a combination of panic selling, lack of interest, and just oversupply. I mean, that Team of the Week was actually crazy. And to all the people just listening who like all maybe invested in and just got absolutely, you know, hurt by that, you're not in it alone. I lost money on that Team of the Week. A lot of the elite traders were just sitting there like shaking their heads, man, and just being like, this had so much potential. Oversupply, overinvesting, and panic. That's probably the best way I can define it.
This is a bigger kind of theory about this year, but I think so many people have gone in on those Icon SBCs, and also so many people have maybe realized
that point you're bringing.
The upgrade in informs isn't perhaps quite as good. And I think there's been quite a lot of awareness of that in the community. The kind of people who can afford those kind of higher tier, maybe the Pogbas and the like, they now realize that maybe that's not inform, which isn't going to fluctuate quite as much as in previous years in itself, isn't that much of a downgrade over that inform. Which costs quite a significant amount more normally.
The players are getting smarter, man. You know?
Why are they doing that? Just so much
No, but it's true, man. And I think a lot of people are like going on Flipit and seeing, well, why am I going to pay 400K more for this inform that literally has like not much of an upgrade? And it's something with the informs, man. They're not doing too much. I think that I understand why EA is doing it, and it's not to kind of screw over investors. Why they're doing it is last year, they gave players way too much early on of upgrades. Way too much. Like, there were the upgrades on informs last year were substantial, man. They were crazy. So I think EA toned down a little bit on that, and I think the point you bring up about icon SBCs is absolutely amazing. There couldn't be a better explanation. You have icon SBCs now available, and a lot of them, especially, there's a ton of central ones, right? And there's a lot of investments that have to do with central midfield, Nainggolan, Pogba, Vidal, right? That's three in one team of the week. And it just counters it when you can say, hey, you know, I have this icon in my club. Maybe I did him as an untradeable. I'm stuck with him. I don't want to pay for this other one. And I can link this icon with anybody, so I don't have to worry about linking problems. So with getting chemistry. So that's another big thing that we did not have last year. So I think this year has been a big year, at least the fall, right? About learning how to adapt to the market. Learning how's this year's market going to be different than last year's? And then what can I do differently to adapt, essentially? I think that's the real, you know.
Yeah.
It's been really good for me, right? Because I've gotten to learn, you know, make mistakes, and now it makes you better that way. You know more scenarios, and you play more scenarios through that potentially could happen before you make a big investment.
It's totally true, because each year it does feel different, and people probably expected this year to be similar because of the fact that, you know, Foot Champs was back in a way. Right, so we've had, we asked on Twitter. Right, so let's get into the question that we asked on Twitter. And we've already had one listener question earlier about Team of the Week 10. But we asked you what your worst trading mistakes were. And we've got a couple of fairly sizable ones. We've obviously got a Team of the Week 10 related one, which I wanted to bring up. A guy mentioning Inform Pogba that he bought for 840 and he went down to 570.
Oh.
In that situation, would you say perhaps you should have held?
You could have, you know, that I get it, man. Like, at that point, he's looking at it and saying, I bought for 840. Even if he does go back up, is he going to go over 700 now that he has another inform?
Mm.
It's a tough one, man. And the way to go, and I would tell you guys this, is if you're ever taking a loss that substantially, look at it and say, okay, do I need these coins, right? And if I need these coins for something, am I going to make money with these coins that I'm losing, right? Am I going to get this 540K now, and am I going to make that back because I see a buy that I need to get on, right? So that's always what I do when I look at a big loss, but that's a tough loss, man. I don't know what to say. Like, I think the whole market as a whole, all informs and everything, should rebound hard after Team of the Year. It's all going to go up, I think, 10, anywhere from 10 to 30% in some players. But yeah, that's a tough one, man. I don't really know what I would... I never really like advising a loss. I always say, listen, if you're going to take the loss, could you do something with it, right? That's kind of the way to go. And that's what I always ask myself. I'm like, okay, like, I'm losing. You know, we can talk about this because I have had two scenarios of losses this year. I traded with a Nainggolan one time and just thought I had the read right. I thought he was going to go up overnight. And just for some reason, I just didn't get it right. I think I bought him for like 780, had to sell him for 625 because I just knew he was going to keep going down. And I knew there was a Team of the Week SBC coming. So I was like, okay, he's going to get killed soon. I need to sell.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're taking a loss, like, when's the, it's such a hard thing to do, man. Because you feel like you failed, right? But it just happens, man, especially with investing and trading. You have to if you're in this game, you need to be okay with saying, hey, it's not everything's going to work out.
Yeah, and I think people often don't appreciate how many losses, like, big traders will actually take to make their coins.
Yeah.
Because it's almost unavoidable, isn't it? And I know, you know, people like sort of Golden Bear, you know, Foot Economist, all these people will tell you that they've made pretty big losses. But it's all about how you kind of react and push on and sort of back your ability, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
That last one came in from Memo Sandoval, and the next one actually comes in from Holco Foot, who's a really interesting trader who trades a lot in...
He's a great trader.
Yeah, he's really good, isn't he? And he trades a lot of high sort of value, often icon investments, and his one kind of relates to that, and it's more of a sort of proper mistake rather than an actual sort of oversight, if you like. This is that he bought Matt House for 3.2 million due to lag, and yeah, Matt House is about 1.5. Well, that is, yeah, not ideal. So menu lag, definitely a cause of a few complaints from traders. I think this year, right, at the start of the game, when 10K is really crucial, I accidentally listed Herrera for, I think, 2K rather than 12K or something like that, which was pretty painful. Basically, because, you know, on the web app, it sometimes accidentally flicks you to a different player than the one you had before. I don't know if you've had that, but yeah. Holco Foot, we can feel your pain. It's happened to the best of us. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, go follow him, actually. I think it's H-O-L-K-K-O Foot on Twitter. Straight back to Nick after the break. But first of all, I just wanted to say huge support recently for the podcast. We don't often do this, but we're in the many, many thousands of listeners now. It's really greatly appreciated. And despite that, it would really make a huge difference if you could leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. You just search Foot Weekly and it will come up, and then you can leave us a review, and hopefully it'll be a positive one. Thank you very much, and enjoy the second half. So Nick, you're obviously known far and wide in the FIFA community as a trader, but you do have a bit of undercover playing ability, a bit like our man Jamie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie Foot Economist is really good as well. It's actually always been the thing. I think somebody tweeted at us too the other day and was like, who's playing on your account? Because there was a weekend where Jamie and I were both playing, and I think we were both 18-2, and I actually DM'd him, and I was like, okay, like, are we going to match? Because he lives on the East Coast in USA where I live, and I was like, okay, we might match against each other soon. Like, this is going to be intense. But yeah, dude, I'm actually, you know, I've finally gotten around in the last month or two to playing the game. Enjoying it, man. Like, it's nice, you know. Everybody was always asking me, like, does this guy even play? And, like, I played squad battles just to get some coins and play with my players for the first few months. And now it's great, man. You know, I'm right now, just on a little bit of a side note, I'm currently sitting, like, 1.5 million outside the top 100 for transfer profits. So I'm about to make it into, like, top 100 for transfer profit for the year, which is great. But for me, it's not even the ranking. It's just that I'm doing really well with my coins right now. So I've been able to make a really – I told you I bought my team – January 1st, I was able to make a really, really nice team. So I've played one weekend with the team now, and then I've played 2 weekends before that with a 300, 400, 500K meta team with, and then with one icon, which was the Baby Hollis. Nice. So you had the Baby Hollis really in that good team. So what was your record?
Did you finish any of the weekend leagues you played then?
The first weekend league I played on this game, I went 27-13, and I actually played all 40 games. It was breaking the ice. It was really, like, I didn't play that many online games before that. I was still in D8 on seasons. So I really was not playing much. I was like, okay, break the ice. I just wanted to hit gold one. I was like, even for me, I was just like, let's just get to 22, 23. Like, I don't know how this goes. I had a few, I think I had last year three elite three finishes and one elite two, and then I had a weekend where I went 31-4 and ran out of time. So there were, at that really, when I played last year, I was always hitting 28 to 34, like somewhere in that range. So I knew I was good. I just didn't really play too much this year. So that was the one weekend I finished, and then I think the weekend after I ended up going 27-6. That was the weekend of Christmas, so I was spending time with my family, and I was like, 30 games, like, I can't finish. And then last weekend we went 28-7 or 28-8. Did not finish.
So you would
the
have
last
thought that would definitely
games,
be an elite three, yeah.
The amount of players, yeah, dude. But the amount of good players last weekend I played,
and like, the quality of teams. I mean, we were discussing this with Jamie on the pod last week.
It's crazy. The last weekend I actually played against a lot of guys, you know, like, you know, on Twitter and guys you see finishing in your regional top 100 and your 35, 36 wins, YouTubers. And they all, you know, it's not like they're playing with, they have the teams, man. So it was really competitive. And obviously, I think the gameplay last weekend was a little interesting, to say the least. I think overall in the community, it was just, everybody's like, what is going on? Like, what happened to FIFA? It was a little crazy. I'd say last weekend, I kept my cool. And I that's the way I think I play well, right? I play possessive and I keep my cool. I don't try to get all angry. I don't rage. But I think it was really hard not to rage last weekend. It was the defending, especially, was very hard last weekend.
Yeah, do you feel like maybe it was a bit of delay creeping in, some kind of... Because I do feel like that's probably one of the biggest issues.
So yeah, so I actually play on a controller that's actually... I have the Elite controller. I have it and it's just wired, which is a part of the Xbox. It's like a nice controller and it's wired. So for me, dude, I never have any delay. Even when I play champs, maybe the slightest. And this weekend it was nuts. Like, I've really had delay last year a little bit, nothing this year, and it was, like, eye-opening. Like, I had so much this weekend. Like, I was, when the ball was still being passed, I was winding up a shot with my son, like, already planning it.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? And that's how bad it got. It was really a challenge, man. It was mentally grinding this weekend. I usually can sit down and play 6 to 8 games at a time. I couldn't play more than 3. I would have to go take a break, man, and go do something.
Yeah, we've discussed it on the podcast quite a few times, so I won't bore our listeners with it, but honestly, I think... huge number of complaints about the game, mainly because of delay, actually, even if people don't quite realize that that's what the underlying problem is, because sometimes it can, I mean, that sounds quite obviously really bad, but sometimes it's just slight and it can really just throw people off their game a little bit. So yeah, it is a tricky thing. And I think as you were doing better, it's probably the pool was being restricted of the number of players you could play, so that then means you maybe get players with worse connection and things, so it's kind of a vicious cycle. Yeah, anyway.
And I've actually have this, so I think, I don't know what you feel about it, but we could briefly talk about that. And I think for me, what I found out is that after 10 games, they say, okay, this is your projected finish. You're going to play people on this level.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, whenever I'm always, after my first 10 games, I'm never anything less than 8-2. I'm always 9-1, sometimes even 10-0. So there was a point where I was 12-1, and I went 12-1 on a Friday, just feeling really good. My game was playing. I was like, boom, let's keep going. And I ended up playing against, there's actually a group of guys in Mexico. They are like the, I would say like the Mexican version of, they have like a footwiz situation going on down there where they have like, it's called FOB. There's like 10 players down there. They all those guys are Elite 2 plus, some in the top 100. I ended up playing 3 of those guys in 4 games.
So all the way from Mexico as well. So connection
in Mexico. So you can, what you just talked about was like, when you get to that level of where you're going to finish, they open that mile radius of who you're playing. Definitely big time to make sure you're playing against players on your level, which is, it's just, I don't, you know, that whole, is it really right for that to be happening, or should it just be completely randomized matchmaking? I don't know.
I mean, it's very difficult, isn't it? Because they've got to increase the quality of opponent, otherwise they can't, you know, otherwise you might fluke a weekend, like, you know, a whole weekend where you don't play a tough player just because the players in your area aren't very good. So I guess it's, you know, what can they do? I mean, all these things are very restricted by technology and infrastructure. And I don't think people quite appreciate that sometimes when you see comments on Twitter, like, there's only so much EA can do about this. And actually, really, you need everyone to get in a massive warehouse over the weekend and play their games against each other on a LAN connection. That's the only way you'd really have a fair environment. It's very, very difficult. One thing I'd say is that, you know, in your situation, because you're in East Coast of the United States, the sort of player base for the game is going to be more restricted. So I find that as I do better, I don't necessarily probably have quite the same problems in terms of the connection, maybe. But obviously, right, well, enough about sort of the ins and outs of the weekend league. I'd quite like to hear about your team that you're using at the moment. What formation are you using, and who have you got in different positions, and who are you finding most effective?
So I do a 4-3-3 normal variation, and then in game I switch to a 4-1-2-2 second variation. I've used that formation since the winter of FIFA 17, and I actually started this year trying out the 4-2-3-1 second with the DMs, the outside mids, and then the lone striker, and it was good for possession, but I couldn't find a way to, I just have this I have a possessive play style that I play very attackingly, so I like to keep the ball, but I keep the ball in the other person's 18. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I'm at. I'm not at midfield. So for me, the 4-1-2-2 is amazing. I love the formation. I've got this team that I've put together has, well, I'll actually tell you the team that I played with last weekend, which was, it was the 92 inform De Gea net. I've got the Bai normal gold card. And then I actually packed for my monthlies. I got gold too. I only played 2 weekends last. So I got four red cards. I packed Winston Reed.
Interesting.
And he's medium high. He was 6'3", 82 rated, 72 pace, 83 defending, 83 physical. I stuck a shadow on him. He was really good. He's not going to be able to hang with the Team of the Year card, so that's why I've actually just picked up Blanc for the upcoming weekend league. Nice. I've picked up the 89 Blanc for a really good price. Been trying to get him at that price, so that's what I was like. I was like, you know what? We're going to give this guy a go. And he was Andy, I call him Andy Reed in my streams, but Winston Reed. Yeah, he was really good. He was actually he surprised me. I thought he would be a liability, and he wasn't. He actually came up clutch, did really well for me. So then I actually I put in Sandro. So I picked up Sandro for last weekend. Played him on 8 chemistry. I just want to let everybody know that. I didn't see any difference. The reason he was on 7 chem, and I put a manager that was Italian, so he got the 8 chem.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't notice anything with that. And then my center backs are both still on 10 chem as Bai has the link to De Gea.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at right back, I played Aurier. And that's a choice that I don't see a ton of people doing. And it's not because I'm a Spurs fan. A lot of people choose Valencia. Now, I'd say that they have the complete right choice there. I play against Valencia, and he's a monster. I hate one-star weak foots. I really don't like them. And I I think Aurier makes a really good case for being one of the best right backs in the game with the right chem style, and I use an anchor on him. And for some reason, so his card stats start at 84 pace, 78 defending, 77 dribbling, 73 passing, and 84 physical. But he has 81 strength, 87 stamina, 93 jumping. So his physical stats are outstanding. For me, when I put this anchor on him, he's going to get close to 90 in pace, if not 90. His defending gets into the 82 range, 83, 84. The physical goes to 90. And the physical, for me, like just in my experience of using him, it doesn't matter who it is, whoever's running at the guy, he just, for some reason, man, he just bodies people and doesn't get fouls.
I think he's really underrated, actually. I don't see him that
really
often.
Really good player. And I've been saying this all year. If he gets an inform, dude, that inform is going to be crazy.
I think he'll be better. I think he'll be better than Valencia. And
I have to agree. It's going to be a really close call. I think it could be better.
I think Valencia's inform obviously is very good, but it's that weak foot. Just keeps putting me off.
And Aurier actually has the 3-star weak foot. For me, that's a huge upgrade. And the guys listening, like, I'm sitting here playing with a 10 million team, and I'm playing with a gold Aurier 81 who is 700 coins.
Yeah.
That's how good I think he is. I could go buy inform Valencia, Zanetti, anybody in a heartbeat. But I've got him in here, man, because listen, I've got 300 games with him now. So I've played with him a quite amount, and he stayed in the squad, and then I'll speed it up and we'll move up to the midfield. I have Matthias. So I start in this 4-3-3 to get Cam. I have Vieira at left center mid. I have the informed striker Son playing as a center mid, position changed. He has a center mid. And then I've got Lothar Matthäus' 91 rated center mid card.
As a good midfield,
So that's my four. I'll tell you the 4-3-3, and then I'll go into talk about a little bit of the players and then what I switch to in game. And then obviously up top, left wing, I have Ronaldo. He gets the link with Vieira. And then I'm playing my baby Hullet at striker. So he's on full chem. And then I play the SBC Quincy Promes at right wing. And he gets a strong link to Hullet, and he gets a link with Matthias. And then in-game, I switch to 4-1-2-1-2. Obviously, the defense and the goalie obviously stays all the same. And then Vieira plays my DM. Matthias plays my left center mid. Hullet plays my right center mid. And Son plays my cam. A lot of people would think that I play Hullet at cam. I do not. I play Son at cam. And then I play Ronaldo at left striker and Proms at right striker. Nice. And just talking about some of the players, Vieira is amazing. I think, you know, I've heard some people say this year that maybe he's not that needed and you can just use Bakayoko. I've used Bakayoko. Now I've used Vieira and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Okay. He's miles ahead better.
I understand why people like Bakayoko, but as soon as you use a kind of quality midfielder.
Exactly. Vieira really provides a lot better passing too. That's what's very noticeable for me. Bakayoko gives the ball away a lot when you win. And then Son at cam is amazing for me. I'm obsessed with players with 5-star weak foots, and I was a big Son fan last year. Used him a lot. He's been outstanding. He's got over 400, almost 400 goal contributions in 250 games, so he's been great.
Wow.
And for me, like his card, you know, you look at it, 88 pace, 85 shootings, 85 dribbling. It's the pretty standard what you're going to get from Son. It's something about the guy, man. Like, it's just something about it. It says 69 physical, but he's like, he does not get taken off the ball. I don't know if it's because he's in the cam spot, so he doesn't get bodied a lot, but I found the role for him. This is, you know what? I'm just like realizing this. This is why I play him with a finisher. So he gets the boost of his physical.
Does he get ridiculous long shots as well? I think finishes massively.
His shooting goes way up. No pace upgrade, and then the shooting goes way up, and the physical goes way up. So that's why, for me, that chem style just makes him be an absolute animal. And then I want to speak about Matthias really quickly, because a lot of people are looking at Matthias saying 5'9", like, I don't know. I'm a huge fan. I had him in my team, and I think you got to play him at left center mid or right center mid. Like, you need to play him in those two positions. He's not a CDM. I wouldn't play him there just because he's 5'9". I know his defensive stats are great just because of the height. But I found him to be, with the high work rates, absolutely amazing, man, at left center mid. And I talked about this with my buddy the other day, and I said, if there was a player who would have, like, a clutch rating, like, if there was some kind of rating that said clutch or ice in the veins or something like that, like, comes up in the big moment, every game, man, this guy is scoring a long shot in the 90th, is making the final assist, making the best pass. He's standing on a rebound off the post to tap it in. Like, I don't know what... And you could say it's down to attacking and positioning in general, but I don't know what this card is, man. He, for me, is always in the last moment of games, getting it done.
That is interesting, actually. He does have really good composure, I think. So, I mean, that is...
Yeah, let me check out his composure. 89 composure.
What chemistry style did you say you're using?
I am using... So, with Matthias, I'm using a Hunter.
Mm, that's really interesting. So, I wonder whether it is. Because I quite like looking at stats, in-game stats. Because people often say, oh, this player is really good at this. But they're not kind of, sure why. But often when you look at in-game stats, it does kind of come clear. Because with Hunter, he'd have, 99 positioning... and 92 interceptions, his place on the pitch should be kind of perfect in a way, and he's got 89 composure, so maybe it is like kind of a combination of those two stats, actually. And he's got very good stamina.
And I pressure. Thought that, I was always a thing, and I didn't believe in chem styles, and with the Anchor on Aurier, I actually use Vieira with an engine, I don't use a shadow on him, and there's certain things, like the touches that I just talked about with Sun, where I use a finisher, and it just... I feel that physical. If I took that off him and put a Hunter, I don't think he would be nearly as good. And it's finding the ways in your team where, with Ronaldo, I don't use a Hunter. I use a Hawk because I want his physical to go higher.
Yeah.
There's certain limits that, how much do you need on a player, right?
And also, don't be afraid to, change those chemistry styles. If you just feel, that this player could just leave a little bit more finishing here, maybe a bit more pace, or, he actually doesn't feel quite as agile as I'd have liked. Those kind of things. Just give another chemistry style a go, and sometimes it can make a real difference, I think.
Yeah, and then I just want to speak, on the last part of my team, obviously Ronaldo's Ronaldo, I rate him, and the Hullet I definitely rate, but this Proms card is something that not people, he's actually in a lot of pros super subs, but not a ton, because a lot of pros don't want to go do the whole League SBC. He's only available as a League SBC, and he does have an inform on the market, but it's an 84 rated, and it's not just an 84 rated that's a little bit worse. It is nothing close to this card. I prepared early on in the game. I thought that this would be one of the earlier, the Russian League would be one of the earlier League SBCs, so I bought the whole league in preparation. Nice. So I bought the whole league for, I think, 60,000. I think you can do the League SBC for 190, 150, somewhere in there. Proms has been my favorite player this year, and I always have a favorite player. Last year was somewhere in the mix between Team of the Season Lukaku and Team of the Season Mertens. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this guy, man, I'm about to hit 300 games with him. He's got, we talked about this before, but he's on 215 goals, 186 assists, playing an attack with Ronaldo and Son. And just the thing that I always talk about is I've got Ronaldo up there, man, and I don't see I'm not sitting there saying, let me favor this side 55 to 45%.
Yeah.
If anything, I'm actually finding myself going with Quincy Moore. And it's it's mind blowing. I've paid $1.7 million for this Ronaldo, and he's the best. He's arguably he's probably the best card in the game. As a gold card, and his team of the year will be absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
But for me, Proms is almost a player that I don't know. It might be one of those things when I go into a game, I think people are looking at him who's this guy? Because when you're loading up someone's team, you can't really see you can't see the stats of the players.
Yeah, yeah.
So because he's a League SBC, he's not on the market every day. He's not really talked about. He's four-star. His base card is 90. This card is 92 pace, 88 dribbling, 87 shooting, 84 passing with 73 physical. I play him with a Hunter.
And he feels like 94, a lot stronger than you'd think. No?
Oh, he feels strong. 94 sprint speed. 89 long shots, 89 vision, 92 agility, 88 dribbling, the composure's there, stamina's amazing, jumping's amazing. This guy, man, the four-star is huge, because I love being able to do, left-footed low drivens or on the weak foot. So I just want to speak about that, because he's actually my favorite player this year. And to the people that have actually, I've recommended this player in my streams, I've said, guys, if you need that guy for your team, whether it's a sub or something, it is worth doing the SBC. You get some packs from it, and you get a player for probably after packs, 100K. If you pack something good, you'll get it for close to free. I think it's, if you guys are looking for a team change or a player, you need to give this guy a try. And I know he's not the easiest to link. You're going to have to get, for me, I have him around icons in a 4-3-3, so that's why he links. But I will tell you guys this, for the first one, so let's talk about the first two weekends, right, that I played Weekend League. I had a lesser team. I didn't have this team. I played with this team last weekend. I had a team that was probably, we talked about it. It was a 500K team plus Hullet, right? So I subbed on Proms, man, every game. I switched to 4-1-2-2, and I subbed him on. So he was on 5 or 6 chem, and I didn't notice one thing. like he was the same player he is right now. So that's just, I know he's not the easiest to link because he's in the Russian league and he's Dutch. But yeah, if you can find a way to get him in your team or just get him on the field, he's crazy, man.
So just clear up, really, you're saying really that you didn't think he was nearly as good off the bench than in...
No, what I'm saying is
you didn't notice the difference.
Off the bench, I didn't notice one difference, man. Like, so I've had this whole thing up in the air where I have Sandro on 8 chemistry and...
Mm.
Like, does it really? I've always been a believer. Like, my team has 100 chem. Everybody has 10 chem except Sandro.
I mean, 8 and 10. If you look at the, because on Foothead, you can obviously look at the difference in sort of chemistry points with a lower chemistry. And 8 and 10 really isn't a huge difference. I'm just always like one for kind of, I'll have like someone on slightly lower chemistry and then they'll do something like, and I'll be like, oh, it's probably because they're not on full chem. But I know what you mean. Like, it really doesn't make a big difference. Actually, what chemistry style did you have on Promes? Just if people are wondering.
Hunter,
yeah. And with Hunter, he's one of those players that's good because he has quite a high sprint speed, doesn't he? Whereas a lot of players have very high acceleration, which actually acceleration is boosted a lot more than sprint speed with all the chem stars. So I think you can get him to like 99 99.
Yeah, 88 acceleration, 94 sprint speed, so he's higher on the sprint speed. It's an absolutely outstanding team that I've put together, man. And In terms of if anybody wants to know, like, custom tactics wise, I don't really believe too much in them. I don't touch them that much. I just changed my defensive line to cover instead of offsides. That's the only thing I really touch. And then I've got most of my things at 50, just kind of halfway. If I'm playing a player who, usually if I'm playing a player on bad connection, if there's some bad lag, I'll lower my pressure and aggression down a lot. It'll get my defenders to chill out and sit back more.
Yeah.
Just so they can be presentable in situations where I'm not running back trying to get countered, trying to avoid countered.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's kind of that's the only thing I'll ever really, every time I'll touch my custom tactics. Really quickly, before we, I want to talk just lastly on two amazing super subs that I use. Because I think anybody who doesn't sub, you guys are messing up, you need to do it. It's huge. Especially you need to look in your team at who are the players with lower stamina. And then figure out, okay, well, who am I going to put in for him? I use the Footmas Mounier.
Nice.
I use him, and I put him in for Hullet usually in the 75th, 80th minute.
Mm.
He provides just all around everything. He's like basically a Hullet gang, which is all 80s. He's got all 80s except the dribbling at 79.
Yeah. He looks amazing. Yeah, I think Japes was on the podcast backing him as well. It wasn't the Footmas one. It was one of, I think, his informant. He had like a month ago.
You guys can't do the Footmas anymore, but you can totally just get the informants. Like, it's pretty similar. And I throw him with a shadow just because usually I'm subbing him in for the purpose of I have a lead.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to put him in. I'm not putting him in for Vieira. I'm just putting him in at right center mid, and he provides a little bit more defending. Like, Hullet's a decent defender, but he's a more, I play him and the more I get him forward more, I'll have Mounier come in and just kind of keep the possession and just pick up any loose balls that I need to. And then I've been using this. Okay, so I've had way too many games playing against Alessandrini's and Lozano's that I finally caved.
Mm.
And I bought the 84 rated Lozano, and oh my.
Yeah. I have his 82 on the bench, and he's unreal.
I can't recommend a better super sub.
So good.
Four star. And the thing is, I have him with a Hawk. That means he comes into the game, and I usually put him in. It's really hard to take out Proms or Ronaldo. Sometimes I take out Proms depending on the game.
Mm.
Sometimes I put Proms at Cam and take out Sun, because Proms has really good stamina.
Yep.
But Lozano has, with this Hawk, and you know what? I'm going to tell you guys what he, like, before the chem style, he's got 96 acceleration, 95 sprint speed, 98 agility, and 98 stamina. So I like to put him in, man, and every time I do, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a goal with this dude. Like, every time I put him in, I know I'm going to score. I put him in 13 games. He has 9 goals. He's probably played a collective 200 FIFA minutes, which is, like, insane. He's getting 20 minutes a game. He's a great player to put in where you don't need to be a skiller, you don't need to do anything. You can just hold down the sprint button and run around tired defenders and just do a light, nice little low driven, and he'll put it in.
Ridiculous, so, isn't it? Yeah, he's so good.
Crazy card.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players, like, if you haven't used him, what are you doing? Like, give him a go. He's so good, and he's not expensive, obviously, either. And actually, you know, you're spending money on a sub, but it does really make a difference, doesn't it, at the end of games?
It totally really does. Important. And I think across my two subs, like, the market value of Mounier, as I have the Footmas, market value is probably 40 or 50, so I have two subs that I have to 70 to 80k that really can be difference changers in helping me close out games. Yeah. They're difference changers to the point where I'm taking out an icon Hullet because they changed the game for me.
Yeah,
and, you know, that's an icon. You're subbing out an icon, you know?
And, you know, earlier we criticized the boosting of your top-rated players, but you got to hand it to EA in terms of boosting the lesser players. They've really done a really good job this year, actually.
Exactly.
It's really good to see. So just before Nick leaves us, I'm going to really sneakily ask him if he can suggest one possible investment in this team of the week that you might like.
No, I'm gonna spoil everybody. Let's talk about this team of the week really quickly before I head out. It's not a great one. I think there's going to be a few good investments. So we'll play it as there's two good ones for me, and then there's one risky one. The risky one is Bale.
Mm.
I'm looking at Bale to be at his cheapest between Monday and Tuesday during lightning rounds. Don't buy any of these players to lightning rounds on Monday. They're going to get packed left, right, and center, and they're going to be all over the place. That's the time to be picking these players up. You can sit on there in a sniper. I think for Bale, I don't know what his price is going to be. He's currently like 2 mil somehow. 1.8, but I think I'm looking somewhere for him to be like under a mil. That's probably my target price, somewhere in the 800 to 900 range. If I can, that'd be beautiful. And then two other investments that are more like presentable is I like Koulibaly and I like Immobile a lot. I like those two out of this team of the week, but I don't want to force investments. I think for me, I'll probably look at Koulibaly more than Immobile.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's options, but I think Koulibaly is a good one, especially with the Hamsik Calcio ISBC. I think that because you can get the link between the two.
And also Alan is really popular, isn't he?
Exactly. Alan, you can get the links. So I'm looking at links in terms of him. I think he's going to drop as low as 60 or 70 during lightning rounds. So he could be a pickup then.
Definitely.
Not really going crazy. It's not an amazing team of the week to be investing in. And I think you guys want to definitely be careful with the lightning rounds and all that. There's going to be a crazy amount of supply and there's going to be a lot of panic. So unless you see an outstanding price, I would probably say just be safe rather than sorry, you know?
Great. I mean, I think final thing would be, unfortunately, to say goodbye and thank you very much for joining us. Absolute pleasure to finally get you on.
Yeah, it's been awesome to be on, and I want to come back and do more. I've really not had the time, so I'm totally going to find time to get back on here and do more of these. These are fun.
And I'm sure most people will know of you already, but where can people find you if they want to watch your streams and catch up with you on Twitter? Oh, and also, of course, YouTube as well. Yeah,
So I stream on Twitch. Guys, Run the Foot Market, search it up on Twitch. And then my Twitter is Run the Foot Market, and then YouTube is Run the Foot Market. So you guys can find me if you have questions and stuff. I think the easiest way to contact me is probably getting in the live streams. You can also at me. I go through and I probably respond to, on a good day when I'm not that busy, 50 to 60 mentions. On a bad day, probably anywhere from 10 to 20. So you can throw the Twitter mention if you guys have urgent things going on. I try my best to answer those. But the live streams are really where you're going to get the dose of what's going on the market, who are the next buys, what's going to happen when this happens, all that kind of stuff. So that's always a really good way for people to get the kind of weekly digest and daily digest of what's going on.
Yeah, so many ways to get involved.
Get involved, ladies and gentlemen.
Get involved indeed. So that might be the end of Nick's involvement, but yours doesn't have to end there. We've got a bonus podcast coming out in the next few days, just after this, and Horace returns as we talk through a surprisingly interesting team of the week, as well as reviewing Inform Alan, second Inform Pogba, and it won't be on YouTube, so if for some reason you do listen there, make sure you subscribe to future podcasts and get them straight away by searching Foot Weekly on iTunes or your podcast app, or whatever podcast platform you choose. For more information, go to footweeklypodcast.com/subscribe.